from our heart, living from our core, living from our power, we all get more. We are powerful women.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Authenticity Summit. I love that word authenticity and all that it means, and I know you do too, or you wouldn't even be here listening to this. You're here giving yourself this gift, honoring yourself with giving yourself some time to empower yourself to live more openly, authentically, and real in your life. And these authors that we are interviewing will help you do it. I'm Sue Erta. I'm your host for this event, and I really do love interviewing these women. I learned so much along the way. And they are just ordinary people like you and me, and yet they're extraordinary in that they are out there living their lives, sharing their purpose and their passion to help other people be more empowered in their life, and this means you. So thank you for being here and listening to this today. And today I'm really happy because I get to interview Lauren Levitt, who is a really cool woman who I just got to know recently. She is also one of the co-authors in the book, The Beauty of Authenticity, and I love her story. I know you will too. But today we're going to talk to Lauren about her topic, The Courage to Change by Becoming Teachable. Now, this is kind of interesting because we all know, you know, we want to make some changes in our life. It does take courage to do it, and Lauren's going to help us get there by sharing information with us today. So first I'm going to read a brief introduction of Lauren, and then we'll get started talking with her. Lauren Levitt was born in Houston, Texas. After attending boarding school in Colorado, she went to Long Island University. Through their global program for experiential learning, she lived and worked with various indigenous groups in India, Central America, and Peru, and graduated with a BA in international relations. After years of dedication to her own personal and spiritual growth, Lauren received her certification in addiction counseling and later a master's in counseling psychology. Lauren lives in Colorado with her husband, where she maintains a private practice in life coaching and counseling. She is currently working on a book dedicated to personal growth and empowered living. And Lauren, I'm really happy to talk with you today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Sue. Thank you.
Terrific. Me too.
You
know,
and
I really love these conversations because, you know, like I said, I get to learn a lot, and I love what these co-authors are sharing. And today, I know you're going to be talking about courage and the courage to change and how we can do that more easily in our lives. But before we get started talking about that topic, how about I'd like if you would please share some about your personal journey and how it led you to where you are today.
That sounds great. So with my personal journey, I had a dysfunctional childhood like a lot of people have. And basically my parents were divorced by the time I was less than two. And I tended to be a lot like my father, who was also an alcoholic. My mother remarried, and she married someone who was just like she was. And they were both incredibly introverted and passive. And, of course, I was just the opposite. I was extremely extroverted, and I would say somewhat aggressive. And when I say aggressive, I mean I asked too many questions. I always wanted to know why things worked the way they did. I was very vocal, and they just couldn't relate to me in any way. And, you know, after years of therapy, I realized that they couldn't give what they didn't have. So after years of avoiding me at all costs because they just really didn't want to be around me because they didn't know how to relate. So I was shipped off to boarding school at 14, and I never lived at home again. So from that time on, I started learning every survival tool that I could. And although that served me because there was a lot of common sense in that, but it wasn't life skills, and those are very different. So at 15, I found a huge relief from reality because I was introduced to alcohol. And that was the biggest relationship that I had for a long time. It was something that I've been waiting for. It was something dependable that I could rely on. And I had a ton of friends, but the thing is it didn't fill that hole like drinking did. And that's what I've been waiting for. And so between the drinking and the survival tools, I had created this facade, and I know that other people can relate to this because I would come off as very confident, strong, independent, like I had it all together. But what that was really just a front to hide the fact that I was really scared. I felt alone in the world, lost, like I didn't belong anywhere. Most of my friends had families that they could depend on, and I knew that was a piece that was missing for me. And in my chapter in the anthology, I do go into a lot more detail about my drinking career and kind of how that affected my life. But it wasn't really until my early 30s that I had been to many rehabs and detoxes, inpatient treatment, that I realized that I was going to have to relearn everything. And I'm not talking about just from the ground floor. I'm talking about from the basement. I was behind. I was way behind the eight ball. But that was my catalyst. It was a catalyst for change and a huge paradigm shift in my life. So that's really where life and learning started for me. And it was a very, very difficult journey of self-discovery because it took a long time to chip away at this facade that I had created. And once I had gone to some women's AA groups, I wanted to be able to relate to them. So I had to learn how to become vulnerable and have humility and show fear. And it was all the things that I had taught out of myself for so many years. So then I started really beginning a foundation of self-love and self-worth. And after years of working on that, obstacles and challenges became more of a state of curiosity to dig deeper. And that's why I started working in addiction treatment for many years, because that was something I knew very well and that I could relate to. Then later becoming an addiction counselor, then going to grad school for counseling psychology, and then now as a life coach. And I realized through all this that my purpose was working with others. And that's why I love working with other people, because the way I see it is if I can help one person feel less alone in the world or less alone with the way that they think, then I'm doing my job. And then I'm truly living to my purpose. So that's kind of the journey and then how I got to where I am today. Just a part of it.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, it's so interesting, right? Because with that, a couple of minutes you talk about this, and there was a lot of stuff, heavy stuff, that you went through, even starting as a young child. And what I find amazing is there are so many people like you who are coaches or counselors or, in your case, helping people in addiction as well, that have gone through a lot of stuff. And I just call it stuff because, that's just a big word that means, you know, a lot of life, a lot of living, a lot of maybe some tough times and trials and all that. I love that you were able to kind of succinctly share that with us, because I think what it does for anybody that's listening says, hey, look, whatever you've been through, I can relate in some way, because what you've gone through, Lauren, as, you know, going through the rehabs, going through the AA, going through the chipping away, as you call it, of this facade that you had developed as a coping tool and this mechanism, survival tool, was just awesome. So I love that you shared that, because what that means to me is what you're going to share with us next is really from that space of experience, not just book knowledge or book smarts or something like that. So thank you for sharing all of that and being vulnerable, which is not always easy to do. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Awesome.
I love sharing.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, because it's meaningful, right? Because people can relate to you, and it's real. It's who you are, right?
Exactly.
Okay, awesome. All right, so let's talk about the title of your interview, The Courage to Change and Becoming Teachable. So what does this mean to you, and why is it such an important concept?
Well, personally for me, I had to muster up a lot of courage. And when I say courage, I might even mean blind courage. But enough to think about jumping off the cliff into the unknown. But that was because the pain was so bad, and I knew that I couldn't go on living that way, that jumping off the cliff to the unknown actually sounded less scary. And I also had to believe that coming out the other side, I would be able to make changes in my own life. And first of all, I believe it takes a tremendous amount of courage, and I know it does, to even want to make changes in your life, whether it's the big ones or even the smaller ones. But the first step to want that change, it's got to be for yourself, because no one can make you change anything. And I've learned that many times, because that's an inside job. It's got to be something you truly want for yourself. And so if you get to that point in your life like I did, where you say, I can't live this way anymore, or I'm tired, I've had enough, I have got to do things differently, then, okay, you get to the point of, all right, I'm ready to make that change. Now what? And I find that that's where people get stuck. That's where I got stuck. And a tool that I've learned along the way is called the HOW method, and that's what I call it. And it's H-O-W. So the H stands for honesty, being completely honest with fill in the blank. What resonates for you, whether it's emotional eating, spending, an addiction to, and it's really a declaration of saying, I have a problem and I want to do something about it. The second letter is O for openness, because if we aren't open to taking in any new information, nothing will happen from that point. And open to learning how to deal with an issue, that's where we're able to make a change, or at least start the process of change. And then W is for willingness, and that's a willingness to do things differently. This is where becoming teachable comes in. Because if I already had the answers, I probably really wouldn't be ready for that change, because I wouldn't be up for trying any new approach. But allowing yourself to become vulnerable, which is what I had to do, is the catalyst for change. Because then trying out a new group or asking help from others who may have had the same experience, whatever the case may be, but that willingness is what can allow space for that change to take place. So I ask myself, and if you're in that position, to ask yourself, am I ready for that change? And am I willing to do what it takes to get there? Because that's how I learned and how I still do. So that's a big piece for me as far as addressing change.
I love that. You know, I'm a big fan of acronyms, so this HOW really resonates with me. So it's honesty, openness, and willingness. And that's great. And willingness, that kind of leads us to the next thing I'd like to talk about, which is self-avoidance. Because I think that, you know, unless we're willing to go there and look at ourselves, you know, and then we're not going to get anywhere. So let's talk about self-avoidance. Why do we have to resolve any challenges that we have with avoiding ourselves? And maybe you could tell us why in the first place, what is self-avoidance? Why would we do that? Because obviously we got to be, you know, we are who we are. What do we do about that?
Well, self-avoidance is something that I can recognize and completely relate to, because that's what I did. I did that for so many years. And we can do it in so many different ways, but I actually kind of think of it right now, the way that I'm seeing things happening, is that it's become an epidemic of our culture. And part of that is because now I see, you know, the availability to avoid is at an all-time high. So when you see technology is everywhere, social media is everywhere, reality television is everywhere. And I know that sometimes people have to use social media for business and things like that. I completely understand that. And it's not that it's a bad thing, but it's just like drugs and alcohol. It's how you use it. So actually, a couple weeks ago, I was reading an issue of Psychology Today, and I realized I saw more ads than I have ever seen before for inpatient treatment facilities. And, of course, they show pictures of being on the beach and on a golf course, you know, swing back into life. And it's really not that easy to do it that way. But obviously it's become something that's more popular. And they also present it as though it's a resort, like you're going on vacation. And that was not my experience with any of my treatment facilities, because if you're going there to do work, you're not really on vacation. But what I had, the thought I had was, seeing all those ads, why is that? And it's whether it is emotional eating or not eating, alcohol or drugs, workaholic has become a really big thing, bad relationships, and I see this a lot in my practice. So it's bad relationships to reinforce drama and chaos. So therefore, you're not really looking at your own life. You're just looking at the cycle of chaos that you're in. And then codependency on others for our own self-worth. And I see that all the time. And then you see sex, gambling, gaming, and now we're back to social media. So, and studies have proven that the more time that people spend on social media, the more alone, depressed, and isolated that they feel afterwards. And why is that? It's because we're comparing ourselves to other people's lives, but it's not even the real life. Even reality TV isn't real. So we're seeing, you know, all of our friends, you know, on a tropical vacation with their husband and family. You know, we don't know what's really going behind. We don't know that they haven't been, that they've been divorced 3 times and that maybe they're going through another one. We have no idea what their experience is, but we're basing their pictures on how we feel. And so in treatment, so years of working in inpatient treatment, and then even in my own practice, when I would inquire with my clients about their addiction or isms, you know, that can be the eating or the spending, but things that are really hindering their development, growth in their own life. One thing that I realized is that there's a common denominator. And it didn't matter if it was a doctor, a lawyer, a social worker, a stay-at-home mom. But if I asked them, what is it that you've always really wanted to do with your life? Even as a kid, did you ever have a dream of something that you've always wanted to do? Or what makes you happy? What fills your soul? Is it art? Is it music? Is it dancing? Is it writing, music, sports? And the response that I almost always would get, and I would see this glazed over look of, why are you even asking me this? But it was, I don't know. Or I've never even really thought about it. And usually it was because we were doing vision boards and they just got lost. They didn't know what to put on there. But that's the thing, is in the midst of all of this, we've become lost and completely detached from a sense of self. We've been so busy doing. So instead of being human beings, we're human doings. And I know we've heard that before. But it's always made me very sad because I do understand it. But I also know that it doesn't have to be that way. And I've seen people make the most beautiful changes in their lives over and over again, which is why I absolutely love what I do. And that's kind of how I look at avoidance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, you talk about social media, and we see with kids, too. I mean, it starts at an early age with all the social media and all these teenagers that are unhappy and depressed and anxious and all whatever else it is, you know, turning to drugs,
yeah,
alcohol, all these other things, because they're seeing everybody else's, they call them the highlight reels, right? We see their highlight reels, not their real life. And so it becomes tough.
That's
and
right.
Yeah, and so that there's that, and so we're basing often our self-worth on that, you know, and you talked about self-worth earlier, that, you know, that's the beginning of, you know, your shift was, you know, recognizing your own self-worth and your own self-love, and I know you have a passion, Lauren, for helping others, you know, around this issue of self-love. Can you talk about that? Like, why do you have that passion, and what does that mean? How do you help them?
Well, so as I was mentioning before with avoidance, self-love or a true sense of self is what is the exact opposite side of that coin. What kept me sick for a really long time in my drinking and my isms and everything else. So the first thing was that the feeling that no one else felt like I did. No one else could possibly understand the way that I thought or the way that I felt. And that's a very isolated place to be. And then the second piece of that was that I felt that no one ever really got me or truly understood me. And so after a long time of looking for that peace, I realized that what I was looking for and what I was longing for was for me to get me. And it wasn't so much about other people's love as much as it was about my own love, self-love. And I remember when I first got sober, I didn't even really know what that meant. And I thought, okay, what is self-esteem and how do other people get it? I just didn't have a clue. And so I went to Barnes & Noble and I picked up a few books about it. And again, I had acted like I thought I knew what it was for a very long time. But the mask and the reality were not the same. So looking at self-esteem, you know, it's basically being completely honest with yourself and others, doing the things you say you'll do, self-care, kindness towards myself and others. And for some people, that might sound really simple, and it might even come naturally for some people. But for me, I really had to work at it because I just didn't get it. And so I had to kind of take off all the stuff that I knew before and really get to an authentic level with this, but it took a really long time. And one thing that I realized is that I spend 100% of my time with myself, even when I'm sleeping. And if I couldn't be my own friend, then I was going to have a really hard time with life. And it took a long time to get to that place, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. And the thing is that people can be very unkind and, you know, sometimes downright nasty. And I've had many jobs where I've come in and had this experience where I've experienced more times than I can count that just people are nasty and maybe sometimes even before I open my mouth. But now at least I'm at a place where, and it doesn't feel good. It never has. But I've learned that 99% of the time, it's really not about me. It's about them. And now I don't have to take everything so personally. And the truth is I don't need everyone to like me. I like when people love me and like me, but the thing is that when they don't, it's okay because I do. And it took me a long time to get there.
Yep, and it's worth every minute that it takes you to get there, too. I realize that, too, because I have had that issue in my own life that showed up in different ways for me, and I know people listening are feeling the same way. It's like, yep, you know, I got to be okay with me. And so, you know, thank you for that and sharing with us how we can get there. You know, Lauren, I know that, you know, we're talking about authenticity. That's the title of the book, the title of the summit. And, you know, I know you believe that connecting to our true nature is key. So can you tell us, what does that mean? What is our true nature? And can you elaborate on why you believe that's one of the most important things we can do?
So after kind of understanding who I was, getting a little stronger sense of who I am, and of course I'm still learning. It's always a process of learning. But learning about what I wanted, what's my purpose, my needs and my desires. It was at a point where I finally was able to trust myself enough that I could trust my own intuition. And it wasn't until I could trust fully in my own intuition that I was also able to trust in the universe. And when I say in the universe, that can be God, that can be a higher power. And we always have that intuition. So if we're in a dark alley and we sense that something's wrong and that we just need to get out of there, that's intuition. But when we can have that intuition on a daily basis in our lives and really trust it, and it said that trusting your intuition is the ultimate act of trusting yourself. And as a result, I no longer feel like I have to control everything and everyone. And it's not like I've ever really been a control freak, but the thing is that, first of all, it's not my job to control other people. Two, it's an illusion to believe that I even have that power anyway. So one thing I like to go back to, and I don't usually quote Alcoholics Anonymous, even though I've been in it for a long time, but it's a prayer or quote that's helped me put things into perspective. And so I ask the universe, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, which is people, places, or things. The courage to change the things I can, which is myself and my reactions. The wisdom to know the difference. And it sounds so simple, but yet it can be really difficult to carry out. And with that, the more that I've learned to trust my own intuition, then I know when I'm on the right path because it resonates. It feels right. I also have a sense of when I've met a new friend because I just know that it's an authentic person. Or when I'm picking a partner. I mean, I'm married now, but the people I picked before, who knows? I was coming from a very different place. But over time, it becomes our true nature, that sense of really tapping into that source. And once you're tapped into that source, then you can connect with others on a much deeper level. And the process of life begins to have more clarity. And that's when the world of possibilities and a new sense of freedom started to open up for me. And a lot of times I'll see bumper stickers that say, dance like nobody's watching. And the way I look at it is to love, dance, create, and shine. Shine your best self unapologetically. And that's because we're coming from that place of authenticity. We're able to do that.
I love that. It's really absolutely about authenticity. It is about trusting ourselves. It is about that intuition and just allowing ourselves to be guided by that. You know, relaxing into that is so important. And I got to tell you, you know, I haven't been a part of Alcoholics Anonymous, but the Serenity Prayer that you talked about is one of my favorite things. I say it to myself all the time, and it provides ease for me. And I hope it does that for our listeners too, because it really gives me a guiding way. It makes me feel like, hey, I don't have to control all of this, and it's going to be okay no matter what. You know, like that's how it makes me feel. So thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
I love it.
Absolutely.
You know, Lauren, yeah, it's great. So, Lauren, this has been awesome. I love this information that you shared, the courage to change by becoming teachable. Awesome stuff, really wonderful about self-love, self-worth, all of that. Thank you. And, you know, I know that our listeners would love to receive a special gift that you have for them. So can you please tell us about that and how they can get to it?
Well, thank you so much for asking. So if you go to my website, and that's levittlifecoaching.com, and it's L-E-V as in Victor, I-T-T, lifecoaching.com, /authenticity-summit. I have included a free 10-minute meditation, and I actually used that today before we even started our interview because it helps me for grounding and tapping back into that sense of myself, and I can just relax into my breath and where I am and being in this moment. And, you know, we're also tribal in nature, and it's also about connectivity. And that's why I wanted to provide something that other people could, because, you know, I've noticed that meditation and yoga has become very popular, which I love. And I do both of those. But what do we do in between those spaces? And with this meditation, you can download it onto your phone or whatever listening device that you use, and you can use it throughout the day. And sometimes if you're really busy at work, sometimes I'll just put my hand on my head on a, you know, in a bathroom break and just breathe and pay attention to my breathing for a minute. And it just resets, you know, it just resets a total different mindset and a mind frame. And also on my website, I would be more than happy because, like I said, we're tribal. And it's all about connectivity. And so if anybody has any thoughts or questions, whether they could relate to what I was just talking about or not relate, but that's also how I can learn from the listeners, because maybe there was a piece that I didn't talk enough about and they'd like to know more about. And on my website, there's a contact page, but you can also contact me at Loren, L-O-R-E-N, at levittlifecoaching.com. And feel free to reach out to me at any time, because I love questions and I love hearing feedback, because, again, that's how we're all learning and growing. And that's a beautiful process.
It sure is. You know, Loren, thank you so much. I so appreciate you and all the information you shared. I know our listeners will want to reach out to you and get that meditation. I'm looking forward to it myself. Thank you so much for being a part of this whole process, sharing your story in the book. I really did love reading your story, your chapter in the book, and I know that our listeners will too. And it's, you know, I think about what you've been through and how you've managed things in your life and dealt with things and kind of pulled yourself around to the person that you are today, which is beautiful, and I thank you for sharing that, because it's very meaningful. So thanks for being part of all of this.
Well, I'm so honored to be part of the book and in the interview today. I appreciate everything you do, and I'm grateful to be here and to be part of this. It's a beautiful anthology, and I couldn't be more grateful.
Awesome. Me too. I feel exactly the same way. And I'm grateful for you, Loren. I'm also grateful for our listeners, because as all of these women and men are listening and they are bringing more authenticity into their own lives, becoming more honest, more open, more real with themselves, they're also allowing others to do the same by their example. So I appreciate all of you listeners doing this, bringing these lessons and guidance into your life, these practices. And be sure to continue to listen to the summit. There's lots of great interviews here for you. Read that ebook of tips. Buy the book on launch day, May 22nd, and continue your own journey of authenticity, whatever that means for you. Thanks, everybody, and have a beautiful day. Bye for now.
Living from our heart.